Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. He's such a faithful God. I've seen Him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I start doing anyhow, anywhere belief is. Somebody say anywhere belief is. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. To put your head, somebody scream. Woo! It's open to open your mouth and begin to pray the Holy Ghost. Ah. Yeah.
faithful God we serve. We serve such a awesome, faithful God. Thank you, Lord. And we are grateful for his love, his mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We serve such an awesome God, such a good God, such a great God. Amen. And we are grateful. Thank you, Lord. Hope everyone can hear me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Lord, I pray that you will help my brothers and sisters to log in tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, send your angels, archangels, warriors, angels, Lord, trillions and billions of warriors, angels, archangels, from north to south, east to west, up and down. Keep us, protect us, speak to us, minister to us, Lord Jesus. We bind the strong man or hindrance spirit from north to south, east to west, witches and warlock. We bind and rebuke them. In Jesus' name, Lord, send billions and trillions of warriors, angels, Lord. Put a hedge of protection and a wall of fire, each and one of us listening, Lord. Everyone listening at home on the cell phone, Lord, protect them, speak to us, Lord. Speak to our life, Lord. Help our people like him, Lord. Let it be for any browser, Lord. Let your mighty power, mighty presence allow them to log in tonight in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, you have all power in heaven and on earth, and we ask you for your help, Lord. Help your people to log in tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We praise you. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. And we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help your people to log in. Minister, Lord, to the sick, whatever is going on, Lord, in your people's life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Help them tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. Give your people the health they need, Lord. Help your people, Lord, overcome anything of the flesh of this world, of the enemy. You overcame the flesh. You overcame sickness, Lord. You overcame any attack of the enemy. You defeat them on the cross. And we pray, Lord, you will help us to overcome every day, Lord Jesus. Lord Yeshua, let your mighty in. Let your mighty power be on our sides, Lord. Fighting for us, Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Help your people to log in, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Awesome God. Good God. Great God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We know that you are in control, Lord. Nothing happening out of your will, Lord Jesus. Help us to be under your fear, not the fear of the enemy. We'll repent any fear of the enemy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Cleanse our body, soul, and spirit from any fear of the enemy, Lord. Let us walk in freedom in Christ, Lord. You came to set the captive free, your word said, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Glorify yourself among us, amongst your people, Lord. Prepare us for your coming. Prepare us for your coming, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your holy name be praised, O Lord. Let your holy name be praised. Praise to you, Lord. Glory and honor be given to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Our race is over, Lord. We are going home, Lord Jesus. Give us the peace and the joy. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To come home, Lord. Trusting you, Lord, knowing that you are in control, Lord, of our life and everything that would happen, Lord. Anything that will come about our life, you are in control, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. I hope everyone can hear me fine tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is good. And his love endure forever. Shalom, Sister Regina. Thank you. Shalom, Harley. Robert, thank you. Brother Rob. Ryan, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. God always has something special for us. He is good. He loves us so much. He has given me something so special to share tonight that I know it will encourage you to continue to repent and seek the Lord. What I'm going to share tonight It was so awesome from the Lord, hallelujah, to show me for his people. Thank you, Lord. Those that are looking forward to be going home, to being with the Lord, to being with Jesus, to come to the wedding celebration that is being, hallelujah, preparing heaven for the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This wedding celebration, hallelujah, has been, this preparation, my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, has been going on. And now, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. God has given me the blessing to speak with Peter, Matthew, John, and Luke, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you what Peter says to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't realize when the Lord's given me this revelation how tired I walked with the disciple, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I didn't realize that, hallelujah, we are so tied to the disciple. Our walk, our service to God, and God called them first, and then we follow, my brother and sister. And we need to be reminded of our calling, hallelujah. Here in Luke 22, here's what Jesus says to his disciple. The Bible says that in Luke 22, 14, that when the hour have come, it's always, notice that with God is always an hour. An hour comes. Isn't that incredible? God has a day and an hour for everything he does under the sun, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. When the hour have come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. This was necessary because the Lord is about to give him instruction before he goes back to heaven, my brother and sister. He's about to be arrested, crucified, buried. Yes, he will return back on the third day, but he's going back to the Father. So he's giving them instruction, my brother and sister. We have received instruction for 2,000 years, and now it's our turn to be going back home, my brother and sister. And exactly what happened with the disciple has been happening in our own lives, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15, when he said unto them, with the desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you, hallelujah, before I suffer. Notice that even Jesus had a desire. And his desire, according to Jesus, that he desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer. This thing we desire, my brother and sister, and God will grant it to us for sure. God will grant the desire of a heart, the Bible says. And Jesus desired to eat Passover with his disciple, with the 12. Verse 18, but I said unto you, I will not anymore eat therefore unto a beast fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Notice that God has a time, a season when he fulfill his plan. And Jesus, knowing God, him being God, knowing that the Father had a plan and a purpose, when he will do what he planned, my brother and sister, he said that I said unto you, I will not anymore eat therefore unto it is fulfilled the kingdom of God. The fulfillment of the Father has said before him, okay, he said he will not eat therefore unto it fulfilled the kingdom of God. Why? Because the Lord is going to eat with us at the table in heaven. And Jesus was showing that to me in a revelation when he took me to heaven a few years back. He was sitting at the table, and he was letting me know that he's going to sit with us at the table. And this is part of his promise. I will not eat anymore, therefore, until it is fulfilled the kingdom of God. This is what he was talking about. Until we are all sitting at the table with him, the bride of Christ, then he will eat with us. He's been waiting for this moment, my brother and sister. So you know how important this is. This is not a coincidence that these things have been going about. It is a plan of God, my brother and sister. Verse 17, then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this divine among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God shall come. Notice that this is all about the kingdom of God. This is all about the plan the Father has from the beginning for us. And Jesus is telling his disciple, or telling us through his disciple, how important it is this time, kingdom of God shall come, when we, the bride of Christ, will come together and sit at the table with him and even drink with him, that this moment to him is so important, my brother and sister, and it should be important to every believer who believe in the rapture of the departure of the bride of Christ, who believe going to heaven at any second. Is there any second left there, millisecond? Is 0.0, I don't know, seven is fulfillment, 7-7. What is that in our time? That's practically nothing. But in the spirit time, that's still some time. A few days, a few weeks. Only God knows exactly the time, because for God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. My brother and sister, a few milliseconds. We don't know how many weeks or days those are, my brother and sister. But there's no time left. Verse 19, then he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it again unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember, the Lord wanted to be remembered. Some people want to be forgotten, but the Lord wants to be remembered. My brother insisted. He wants people to remember him because he is the Son of God. He is God. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he can make everything possible in our life. He can make our life so easy to walk with him because his yoke is light. His burden is light. His yoke is easy, my brother insisted. And as long as we're walking with him, he'll make things easy and light for us. Why do I feel heavy sometimes or hard? Because we're not holding on to him as we should. That's the reason. Okay? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He makes it easy. He makes it light when you hold on to him. So don't let go of his mantle. Don't let go of his hand now. We are so close, so close to be going home. I'm going to share with you what the Apostle Peter says to me yesterday morning in heaven, at the gate of heaven. I was not allowed to enter. For whatever reason, I'm not allowed to enter because I believe all the gifts and tables are ready. And beyond those gates, you will see all the preparation for the wedding. You'll see all the gifts, all the wrapped gifts, and all the table full of food. And all the instrument and everything that are ready. And this is the time when I believe God's not going to allow none of us to see them. This is the time where our revelation of heaven, our revelation on what is coming is so limited because it's already here. We're ready where we need to be. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord, for that. Verse 20, like what also he took the cup of the supper, after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. He did this for us. He shed his blood for us, for each and one of us. That's why repenting is so important, because then the blood goes into action. The blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The Bible said, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you start moving your eyes from him now, you're going to feel like Peter, you will sink. Okay? You will feel like sinking if you remove your eyes from him. But as long as you keep your eyes on him, you will walk. You will walk over water. Okay? You will walk on air. You will walk. You will fly. You will move quickly. You will move like the angel, like lightning, as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is the one that is able to do more and exceedingly. Remember? Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed him, that betrayed me, is with me on the table. There is one on the table, my brother and sister, that is not of God, that Jesus said, symbolizing the supper in heaven, not this one cannot enter heaven. He cannot come into the supper of the Lord. But the devil would like to be there. My brother and sister, for what? To contaminate everything. Why do you think the devil has found way to be among us, one way or another? To bring confusion, to bring division, to bring disagreement, to have people thinking if God is real. That's the work of the devil. He will always have someone among us to try to bring that confusion, my brother and sister. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, Jesus will reveal the son of the devil. He will reveal him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, because he's already spoken of him through his prophet. Verse 22, truly the son of man goes as it was determined, but woe unto the man whom he betrayed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The plan of God, the devil cannot stop, is what Jesus said. He cannot. And he was there. Judah was there, hidden as one of the disciples for the devil to try to ruin God's plan. But here's what the Lord Almighty is showing his power. That while the devil had one of his among them, the Lord allowed it, and the Lord knew, to show Satan that God, Jesus, is in control. That doesn't matter what plan the devil has, the Lord will always win, my brothers and sisters. He is more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord. Verse 23, then they began to inquire among themselves which of them was the one that should do these things. Notice now that as Jesus is speaking about this one that was not of him, my brothers, this one that will betray him, they immediately began to try to understand, try to know who it was. And there's nothing wrong with that. When God is showing you something about someone, it is for you to pray. It is for you to ask God and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you showing me, oh, Lord? And seek to know and understand. Thank you, Lord. Don't be offended. Oh, Lord, how can you say this one is? How can Jacob say Esau is not? How can Abel say Cain is not? How can you say it to Abel that Cain was the evil one when Cain always saw him as his brother? How can Jacob see his brother as the evil one? My Lord, my God. But God will reveal it. Verse 24. And there was also a contention among them, which of them should be accounted greater? My brother and sister, people are always looking for higher position in office, huh? They always want to get to that commander-in-chief position, and there's always a competition, and then there's a dirty politics coming against this person, that other person, digging into their life so they can accuse them, and there's false accusation among them, my brother and sister. This always happens, and we hear here among the disciples, like they're running the race like politicians. Who's going to be the greater? Who's going to be the commander-in-chief? Who's going to be sitting on top? Who's going to be the one giving the orders? My brothers and sisters, it's like running for office. They're being called to work for God in humility, but their walk is like running for office, like politicians in Washington, my brothers and sisters. This is the way their walk is. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority over them are called benefactor. These benefactor, my brother and sister, always want to be on top because they said it was, I'm the one that should get everything. It was left to me. That's the benefactor position. And the Lord said, this among the Gentiles is really what's happening. When someone is dying and have a lot of money, you know, it has to be left a written testament saying, hey, this is going to go to him, this and that. Who's the benefactor here? Benefactor, my brother and sister. And the lawyer has to go and dig it and explain it. And it's all a legal matter. But then it becomes a division among the people. Everyone is divided. And no one agree with one another. And it leave family and brothers so divided, sometimes they will never talk to each other anymore. Okay? Because the benefactor get everything. Or gets the most, practically. My brother and sister. And this is wrong. And this is what Jesus is telling them. Because the benefactor, they exercise authority over them that are called benefactor. Okay? Praise your Lord. It is a benefactor is always benefit. Who will benefit out of this? Okay? And this is a problem. And the Lord is saying here in verse 25, but ye shall not be Saul, but he that is greater among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is the chief, he that does the serve. Okay? And he has said in his own life that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. My brother and sister, he is the great example. Each and one of us are being called to serve. But not everyone likes to take that position to the level where Jesus took it. He was willing to serve man, hallelujah, to the level he lowered himself than the angel. My brother and sister, the Bible says, hallelujah, he served his creation. When he is the creator, without him nothing was made. And how is it that nothing was made without him, then he made everything through him. Everything was made through him, and then he's serving his own creation. My brother and sister, that's incredible. That's a mystery. That is a mystery. But in the order for God to teach us humility and servanthood, which in all that bring unity, unity is the power that when we serve one another, it unites us. My brother and sister, because then we see humility in us. And here it is that he's teaching his disciples this, and this is important in the church. My brother and sister, if our brother needs help, we got to be there for that brother or that sister, that family. We need to be there for one another because that will really will show the love. And not say you got to pay me so-and-so. Not do it without wanting to be in pay, but doing it in a service. My brother and sister, as the Lord did it, we got to be the same. Verse 27, but who is greater than he that sitteth under me and he that serveth? It is not he that sitteth on me, but among you, he that serve. Not the one that like to sit on the table and eat, but truly the one, the Lord says, the one that serve the meal. The one that want everyone to eat, not just himself or his own family. Hear people say, well, my family come first. And then their brothers and sisters are starving, hungry, and they don't want to share. That's not. Our family are all of us in Christ, as the Lord says. For my brothers and sisters are those that do the will of the Father, Jesus said. Notice how it is with the Lord, but that's not how it is with the world. To them, the family is a husband and children, or wife and children. Wrong. With God, they're wrong. With the kingdom of God, they're wrong. Because that's not the way Jesus did it. He told when Mary and them was looking for him and said, there, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. He says, my brothers are those that do the will of my Father. And he didn't mean to offend his mother, her brother. It's just that things have to be put in order, my brother insisted. And when they are not put in order, then they don't work in God. We're not a true Christians. We're not true believers. We're fakers. We're acting like the sons of hell, the sons of the devil. My brother insisted, and that's what is not pleasing unto God. And God has made us that we will be pleasing unto him. That's why he said that without faith, it is impossible to please him. That he that believeth that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants us to serve him wholeheartedly. My brother insisted, as Jesus did, we are his disciple. We follow his example. My brother insisted, thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. He teaches us. Verse 28. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptation. Hallelujah. Not a lot of people are willing to do this. Okay? See someone falling in temptation and still continue to try to help them out. Some people will abandon them right away. And ye are they that have continued with me in my temptation. People will fall in temptation here and there. But we should not abandon each other. I was working with a minister years ago. He falling in temptation, and the entire church abandoned him. Then when everybody have abandoned him, I knew I went in prayer for him. And the Lord was working in my life. And it was the question is, why kind of believer am I that if my brother is falling in sin, I should not go to him. I should not go to him and help him to come back to the Lord. So I waited for the right moment. I prayed for him. And I went quietly to visit him at his home. When I knocked on his door and he came, he he could not believe I was looking to see him, to speak with him. And he thought that I came to rebuke him and reject him. And I said, no, no, brother. I'm not here for none of that. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to come and visit you, brother, and help you whatever I can. Hallelujah. And after spending 45 minutes with him and sharing with him the mercy of God for my life, how I gone through temptation and difficult time, and God had been there for me. He had not left me, neither forsaking me, and that I was sure God would do the same with him, that God will be there for him. He said, do you understand that I'm fallen, brother, I'll be in sin? People, the church have rejected me, treated me like an outcast, that I'm no more one of them. And I'm fine with this. I made my peace that I will not be with them anymore. And I said, then, so what did God do to you? He said, what do you mean? What did God do to you? Because God still loves you. And God wants to raise you up. God wants to restore you. God wants to heal you. And as I kept speaking, God began to touch his life in such a way and help him understand that men will reject you, but not the Lord. And I shared with him how I went through a similar situation where men have rejected me, but not the Lord. And the Lord has been merciful to me to restore me back. And I believe God could do the same with him. My brother and sister, today he is a pastor with a congregation that he pastored. My brother and sister, have been a blessing to hundreds and thousands of people. My brother and sister, God is good, and his love endure forever. God will not leave us, neither forsaken us. If we learn to serve God wholeheartedly and be there for others, God will bless us. God will keep us. God will preserve us. My brother and sister, that's the will of God for each and one of us. And that's what Jesus is showing his disciples. Be there for one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may not be there to be there in person, but you can be there with them in prayer. And they will feel those prayers. They will feel God ministering to them, reaching out to their lives. My brother, shalom, sister. Thank you, Lord. Because God can reach them out whenever they are. Verse 29, I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father had appointed unto me, Jesus says to his disciples. Notice that being appointed to a kingdom is being chosen for something greater. And that greater is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, okay, for his people, his church. We've been chosen, elected, selected for something greater. None of us are less than, but we are all equal in the Lord, my brothers and sisters. And even though you may be fallen, the Lord can restore you. You know how I see the Great Tribulation, how God led me to understand the Great Tribulation? 7 years of mercy. While other people see all kinds of destruction, which they are coming there, I see 7 years of mercy. Because God knows that if people are just killed in the Great Tribulation, they don't get the chance to be saved. So what he does, he will not allow death to kill anyone, the Great Tribulation. For 7 years, if 8 billion people goes alive into the Great Tribulation, 8 billion people will be alive practically to the end that are on the earth today. Yes, they will suffer. Yes, they will go through horrible things in those 8 years. 7 years, I'm sorry. They will go through a lot. But guess what? The great opportunity of being saved, the great opportunity of repenting, getting on their knees, crying out to God, and God being there. The Apostle Peter, when he saw the days of the Great Tribulation, this is what he says. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is still King of kings in heaven and Lord of lords, still on the earth and in heaven. King of kings, heaven and earth, Lord of lords, heaven and earth. He is still on the throne. He is still in control for those 7 years. The devil doesn't get to say, I'm in control. He may be out and about like he's always been since the beginning, since the garden. He's been doing his evil things, what he does. Okay? But Jesus has been in control from the beginning to the end. That's why he says that I am the beginning, I am the end. My brothers, he is the end. He is the beginning. Hallelujah. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I remember when he showed me a group of people being chased by demons. As they were running, they cried out to the Lord. And when I looked in the cloud, I saw Jesus standing in the cloud, ordering his angel to stop those demons from chasing those people. And when the demon saw the angel, the demon turned back running from the angel because they knew the angel came to do business. They came to cut them to pieces and they will not run. My brother and sister, they ran for their life and left those people alone to have more time to pray and repent. My brother and sister, it's 7 years of mercy. That's what that is. We're in the years of grace. But in the great tribulation, there will be mercy. There will be mercy. There will be plenty of mercy. Hallelujah. God gives life, God takes it away. The devil is not going to take anyone's life without God's permission. Jesus overcame on the cross. Jesus got the key to hell. Jesus got the key to the kingdom. Not the devil, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Jesus took the key away from him. That is the fact of the matter. And now that Jesus has the key, everything has to be run by him. He bought everyone with his life. He purchased us with his blood. Then who can say anything? Who can make an accusation? Thank you, Lord. He's the one that paid the price. Verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, sitting on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice, he had chosen them to be in judges. First, he said that they will be his witnesses. And now he says that he's making them judges, judging, thrones and judging on the 12 tribes of Israel, the disciple being the judge, my brother and my sister. Think about it. Verse 31. Then the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know how wheat, my brother and sister, is sift. Hallelujah. It's the process of cleansing the wheat, getting it ready so it can be edible. The skin needs to be removed. And the process of removing the skin for wheat, my brother and sisters, it is a difficult process. You need a lot of skill to do that, my brother and sister. And the same as you cleanse wheat, which is like rice, it's very difficult. You need a special machine to do that. And if you do it by hand, there's a lot of beating and beating to remove the skin, my brother and sister. And that's what the devil wanted to do with Peter. Beat him. Beat him. Beat him. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, but what did the Lord do? What did the Lord say to Peter? Satan desired to have you. He desired to have everyone. There are 8 billion people on the earth today. The devil wants each individual, each baby, each girls or boys, madam or sir, elder. It doesn't matter who it is. The devil wants you. He wants you. My brother and sister, he desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, this is why we have one that intercedes for us before the Father every day. Let me tell you, hallelujah, how we benefit out of him being at the right hand of the Father. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, that and when thou art converted, strengthened, thy brethren, Peter, was not even converted yet. A brother tried to tell me this years ago. It was a pastor preaching in the church. And the brother says, the Lord let him know that that pastor was not converted yet. And I said, brother, I'm sorry, but I don't understand what you mean. Because he's talking about the Lord, he's preaching the word. He said, Brother Elvie, he's not converted yet. That's what I'm getting in my spirit. And now as I read Peter, I find a verse where Jesus said, and when thou art converted, he was not converted yet. Peter was not converted. The Lord had called him and chosen him. He was walking with the Lord. Peter was not converted yet. Are you listening? This is Matthew, Luke 22, verse 32. Peter, walking with the Lord, seeing the miracle of Jesus, were not converted yet. My brother and sister, you see the importance of repenting and seeking the Lord? Because there are people that think they're Christian and they're not. They're not converted. They are not converted. Read it in your Bible. Read it in your Bible so you can understand and discern these things. Because a lot of people cannot discern these things. And they are very important to discern them, to know them. Because if you have a preacher that is not converted preaching you, you know what it's going to bring into your life? Confusion. Confusion. Because one day it will tell you one thing, and another day it will tell you another thing, and then he'll tell you he don't know what he was talking about. May God help us. Again, I have prayed for thee, for you, that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. So notice how some people, instead of strengthening you, they bring you down. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed you listen to someone, and instead of strengthening your faith, strengthening your walk with God, they bring you down at the end of the message, at the end of the teaching, they're not converted. In case you're wondering why. Why, Brother Elvie? Why did that happen? So people that are listening and say, that happens to me several times, Brother Elvie. Can you explain to me why the person is not converted? Peter was not converted walking with the Lord still. But Jesus said that he had prayed for him, that his faith failed now, and when he would be converted, he would strengthen the brother. Strength will come to him from God, my brother and sister, to God's people. Because this will help, the strength of the Lord, my brother and sister, help us to walk and continue to walk longer with him. Thank you. But when someone preaches to you and take your strength, be careful. Be careful. Maybe that person is not converted. Learn to discern through the word. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 33, and Peter said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and unto death. Notice that what was in Peter's heart, hallelujah, must have been right. The desire of Peter's heart for seeing what Jesus was able to do was right. But truly, he was not ready. He was not ready, my brother and sister. And this is the problem. Someone can be doing this or that. Is the person ready? That's the problem. The person may not be ready. Verse 34, then he said, I tell you thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny thou knowest me. Okay? And Peter, my brother and sister, at this moment is wondering, why is the Lord saying this to him? But what the Lord is doing, revealing what truly was in Peter's heart. That's what the Lord is doing here, revealing what was in Peter's heart, my brother and sister, that he was not ready. Okay? Verse 35. And then he said unto them, when I send you without a purse or pack or shoe, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing, nothing. Notice that when someone is ready, sent by God, when the person go to that city or that place or that country, they will lack nothing. I have people turn back to me years ago saying that they went to do the ministry and they were broke and they had to stop doing the ministry. And I said, that made no sense. You went to the Lord. Did the Lord send you to do this? The person had the desire like Peter, but they were not ready. Because I tell you something, the Lord had never sent me to do anything that he had not provided me with what I needed to do it. This been this way for so many years now. My brother and sister, he provide even beforehand, before we go do anything. My brother and sister, he's been faithful. He cannot be unfaithful because his throne is about faithfulness. Him that sat upon the throne is faithful. My brother and sister, sometime I will complain about something. It happens to any of us because even Moses went to God for the people saying, God, you have sent me with these people. What should I do? What should I say? That's Moses saying back to God, look, I don't have the answer for this. Can you help me out here? And a lot of times we feel the same. Lord, I'm in this situation, Lord. Can you help me out? But the Lord is faithful, you see. He and then you turn around and he has done it. He has made it happen. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 30 said, then he said unto them, but now he that had a purse, let him take likewise his pack. He that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Okay, which some people take, have taken this wrong there. But that's for another day. Verse 37, and I said unto you, that this is what is written must be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressor for this thing concerning me in the end. Then he said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And they came out of, and went, and he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, praise ye to enter not into temptation. Notice now that they thought it was all about material. And then Jesus turned around and tell them that they should pray, that they will not enter into temptation. He was leading them to have a prayer life, which a lot of Christians don't have. And not a lot of time is part of the problem that they're going through. The struggle that they have, most of it, is because they don't have a firmly, a daily prayer life. And when people don't have a daily prayer life, the enemy will put stone on their way, left or right, rear or front, and then they're complaining. What about this? What about that? The Lord, the devil is the one throwing the stone in front of you for you to fall, for you to trip on, my brother and sister. But if you have a prayer life, the Lord will send his angel to sustain you, to hold you so you will not trip over the stone. You will keep continuing doing what God is calling you to do, my brother and sister. This is important you understand this. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you the dream. The Lord took me to heaven yesterday morning. And when I arrived there at the gate, I saw Peter, Matthew, John, and Luke. And when I'm arriving there, I said, Brother Peter, what are y'all doing here? I'm looking at Matthew and I said, Peter. And Peter said, we are here to welcome the church. Coming in now, he says. Like, what? For a moment, I stopped myself, and I wanted to explain to Peter that we're still here on this earth and that we're waiting for the rapture of the pasture that had not happened yet. And how can he say to me that they're there at the gate, the disciple, waiting for the church, he says, that are coming in now? As I'm talking with him at that moment, as he's telling me, I'm looking at Peter. Look, the apostle Peter in heaven is such a handsome man. I try to compare him with the Peter of the Chosen. I know some of you have seen the Chosen Peter. No, he's much bigger. Peter, the real Peter, have a beautiful, beautiful smile. I put a photo of a smile there, okay? Peter have a beautiful smile, a really clean face, my brother and sister, really clean. In heaven, they all look young and handsome, really handsome, my brother and sister. And really beautiful smile. And Peter was talking with me. He was talking to me in English, my brother and sister, like he was an American. And when Peter was on earth, he only spoke Hebrew. He was Jewish in Israel. And my brother and sister, he was speaking in English with me perfectly without an accent or anything, like if we were from another country. It was like he was born here, raised here and everything, my brother and sister. And he was smiling as he was speaking with me, as I'm speaking with the Apostle Peter. And I said, Brother Peter, what are you doing here? And I look at John, I look at Matthew, I look at Luke, and there was a disciple of Jesus. And I said, Peter, and I'm looking at the gate, because I've been there. I've been at this gate in heaven. I knew this is the gate in heaven. It's a beautiful gate. There's a photo there I put in there. Looks similar to that, but I think the gate of heaven is much beautiful. It has more beautiful design. I think it's much bigger than the one in the photo, too. My brother and sister, I believe I've seen angels at that gate before. I did not expect to see Peter. I had heard that Peter was at the gate. Other people in their revelation from the Lord have seen Peter at the gate. But I'm looking now. I see Peter at the gate. I see Matthew, John, and them, my brother and sister. And I said, what are your brother doing here? And Peter is so friendly, so loving. He was laughing with me. He was smiling, my brother and sister, like we were best buddy, best friend, loving, men of God, my brother and sister. And I said, Brother Peter, what are you doing here? And Peter says to me, he says, the bride, the church, which I never thought they used the word church. I believe they would use the word believer. But he says the church, okay, is coming in now. As he said this, my brothers and sisters were talking. My brothers and sisters in the rapture began to arrive right away. They're coming in through the gate. They're coming in. And the disciples were welcoming them. John, Demo, they were welcoming them. And I'm like, remember that I just tried to explain to Peter, how can he tell me? It's like someone calling you on the phone or you speaking with someone telling you the rapture is happening now. Okay? Someone saying to you, the rapture is happening now. And you're like, what do you mean it's happening now? What am I still doing here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And he's telling me that the rapture was happening now, and the bride began to come in, and their glorified body changed. My brother and sister, they started coming through the gate. Coming through the gate, the Bible says, right? Hallelujah. Come in through the gate. Do not come any other way, but come in through the door. Come in through the gate is how God wants us to be. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord, for that. My brother and sister, and the bride began to come in the glorified body and began to go in through the gate. The disciple of Jesus were there, okay? And immediately it led me to understand so much, okay? Here's what the word of God says, hallelujah. In Ephesians 4:11, he gave to some to be apostle, some to be prophet, some to be evangelist, some to be pastor, some to be teachers, for the perfecting, that's to make them perfect, of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we are all coming to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carry about every wind of doctrine, by the slaying of men in their cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love, may we grow up to him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, and from whom the whole body, fitted joined together, compacted by which is every joint supplied, according to the effective working of the treasure in every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentile walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. Hallelujah. Who being past feeling, having given themselves over into lasciviousness to workable uncleanness and godliness, but ye have not so learned Christ, my brother and sister, well, he had to please the Lord. Well, he had to please God. And without faith, we cannot. God has a mighty plan for you and I. The disciples right now are at the gate, waiting for the church that is about to enter. The Lord has said to me, the night before this revelation, I came to the Lord in prayer in the midnight hour, and I began to complain to the Lord about certain things. And the Lord said to me, remember that it's all over. He says to me, he reminded me, remember, it's all over, he says. At that very moment, immediately he quieted me. He stopped me on my tracks, people say. It was like, wow. He said, it's all over. My brothers and sisters, it's all over. Nothing is left, my brothers and sisters, of time for the bride to be going home. At any moment, the bride will be entering through that gate in heaven. And that's what's matter. The Lord, I listened to two testimonies online today sent to me. One of the testimonies, the brother say that he saw in his revelation from the Lord, the church going home now, like we say now. And when he tried to go home with the Lord, the Lord said, depart from me, workers are evil. I knew you not. And he was shocked. But Lord, I want to go home in the rapture. The Lord said, depart from me, workers are evil, because I knew you not. And he said the same thing to another woman in another dream. Just this week, depart from me, workers are evil, I know you not. We are right now so close that the Lord told him, repent from fighting, repent from argument, repent from insulting one another, repent from coming against one another. The Lord began to give him a list of things for him to repent. My brother and sister, that we need to take for serious. It is a must of important that we understand, because the Gentile practice this, but for the bride of Christ, this is not the time. Verse 21, and it so be that ye have heard him and has been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus, that ye may put off concerning your former manners of living the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful of the lust. Listen to this. That ye be renewing the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak the truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be ye not angry. Are you listening? For this reason, the Lord told him, he'd been so angry and arguing with people, that the Lord says, you're not coming home with me in the rapture. And he was thinking all this time he was going home. But lately he's been arguing with his family and arguing, disagreeing and arguing. And the Lord told him, no, we must humble ourselves and be meek, humble, my brothers and sisters. Very important. Be ye, hallelujah, angry and sit now. Let the sun go down on your wrath. See? Okay, you may get angry, but no, cannot go on like this every day, my brother and sister. And a lot of people are going on every day with this. Neither give place to the evil. If you're doing anything that is not pleasing to God, you're giving place to the evil. Anything that we know that is of the devil, you're giving place to evil. And God is saying, no, like being in wicked, evil video game playing it right now. Right now, you should already quit those video games. Okay? There are video games where people going on and killing other people. No. The Lord has been very clear with me that watching those movies when people are being killed are not pleasing to him. Watching those blood of those people being killed in the movie are not pleasing to him. And he had told me, no, we need to be careful with those things that are not pleasing unto the Lord, because you and I were made to please God. And without faith, we will not please him. My brother and sister, very important you understand this. You that want to go home in the rapture of the pasture, because the Lord told his brother, if you keep arguing with your family as you have been, you're not coming home with me in the rapture. Very important you understand this. There are requirements in there in the Word of God. And people take them for granted because they don't read the Word of God. And here's, I'm reading it to you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let him that steal no more. Oh, it's okay, just a little one. No. I remember years ago, we would go to the supermarket, and they had grapes all over the tables, and we would take some and eat it. The Lord had convicted me that we should not do such a thing. And I'm careful when I go to the supermarket with my children that they don't do it. No. My brother insisted. Take, because if you take a grape that you have not paid for, you're stealing. Simple little things like this is where we don't watch out. We're watching out for other things that God is working with us with, that God has been working in our life for years. But the simple things that we are taking for granted, that we need to take care of, my brothers and sisters, because we're supposed to be pleasing unto the Lord. Instead of worrying being pleasing unto the Lord, are being worried to being pleasing unto their brothers or sisters. Oh, let's see what my brother thinks about me. Let's see what my sister thinks about me when they're not pleasing unto the Lord. You see the problem? What is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? Because churches like to keep the second one. Love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. That's what churches love. And you see believers going around from every church, every place, always talking about the second commandment. But what about the first commandment? Some Christians don't even know what the first commandment is. But let me tell you tonight, love your God with all your heart. You need to be there. Love your God with all your soul. You need to be there. Where is your heart and where is your soul? Love your God with all your mind. Where is your mind? It's your mind in God or in someone else's life. My brother insisted. Love your God with all your strength. To whom are you giving your strength to? People always talking about loving your neighbors as you love yourself. Church is always about the second commandment. But you cannot get to the second unless you're keeping the first. You see the problem? Cannot get to the second. The second comes out of you, your relationship with God. And if our relationship with God is not right, what does the second one concern us of? Think about it. Why would I worry about the second commandment when the first commandment I'm breaking and it's not going to get me into heaven? Why am I then worried? So you see how Satan wants to deceive the people? Worry them about the second commandment, loving the neighbors, loving one another, when the first commandment is broken. And if the Lord comes, they will not go with the Lord. Then why worry about the second one? When they got to get right with God first and be there where God wants them to be, walking with him. So when they are right with God, then they can love their neighbor as they love themselves, my brother and sister, and it becomes natural. You see why it's not natural in certain people? There has to be a disagreement, because if they're not right with God, they're not going to be right with their brothers and sisters. That's the fact of the matter, my brother and sister. So let him that steal not, but rather let him labor, walking with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, given to the needy, to the poor, as we leave people here to do, my brother and sister. The Lord's Hour, one of the things I focus in, that whatever donation people give to this program, I immediately give to the poor first. Not what the program needs first, the poor first, because I never liked it when churches, when we gave our tithes and offering and donation to the churches, and it was about more about paying the bills, doing this or that, and the poor was not taken care. My brother and sister, when I saw this in the church, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, That's not the way I want God to use me. The poor, what God wants us to take care of the poor first. Then God will take care of us, my brother and sister. If it's the other way, if a ministry works the other way, it doesn't work right. And that's why you're seeing large ministry that were millionaire, broke today. Filed for bankruptcy, my brother and sister. I have no money. I'm surprised when I see this online. Millionaire ministry broke. Broke, completely broke. My brother and sister. Great men of God, supposedly, have been preaching for years. Like one I was watching online. If he paid everything he owed right now, he will not have a penny in the bank account to his name. My brother insisted. He will have to sell all his houses. He got several homes. He got limo. He got expensive car. He had private plane. And he had a company do an evaluation on what he owed and what he had. And the company came out and said, look, this is how much you owe, and this is how much you have in your bank account and the value of your property. We got to take all your property and all you have in your bank account and pay this, and you will still owe so many million. He's like, what you're asking me is impossible. He says, you've been living above your means. You've been spending more than what was coming in. Oh, but I did this for the kingdom. Listen, God don't want us to live this way. God don't want us to live on credit card. My brother and sister, no. If you don't have the money, you don't spend it. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand. If you don't have it, you don't spend it. You don't apply for a credit card and get $30,000 and go spend it all because you're making a monthly payment. You will spend 30, 40 years paying a credit card. And everything you work for, your credit card will eat it. The credit card company will eat it. You need to understand how the system works. And a lot of people don't know. And it's because you got to ask the Lord. You got to pray. You got to seek God before you do anything. Before you apply for that credit card, you got to ask the Lord. And what is the Lord going to say? No. And if you are being led by the Lord, you will say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Amen. You're watching out for me, Lord. Thank you. My brother and sister, you don't know the many times the Lord has said no to me and things that I wanted to do. He will say no. And I will take it to him. Lord, no. No. And I have understand that that is the best of me and my family, my brother and sister. Other people get angry. Oh, but everybody's doing it. Why can't I do it, people say. You're saying to the God of the universe that not all things that you think he's wrong and you're right. You see what things go wrong in our lives? When we think we know more than God, that's pride. That is pride reigning in this person's life, my brother and sister. And they don't even know it. Now, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. My brother and sister, but I want to go home in the rapture. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. God is still working with me. But guess what? If you are at that level that you're still speaking corrupt communication, you're going to have to stay for another 7 years for God to continue to polish you because you say God is still working with you when you should have been repenting and not doing it anymore. My brother, this is the fact of the matter. My brother insisted, let no corrupt communication out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used and edifying. In other words, if what I'm saying about you is a use and edifying, if what you're saying about me is a use and edifying, okay? Someone said, Brother, what are you saying behind my back? Okay, let me tell you what I'm saying behind your back, that you are a blessing in the kingdom of God, that you are a tool in the hand of God, that whoever you pray for, God will bless, that whoever you pray for, God will heal. Go ahead and tell them the blessing that I'm saying about you. Thank you, Lord. You need to understand when we speak about us behind our back, we need to be speaking good things, edifying things, Paul says, my brother and sister. And if we don't have nothing good to say, we cannot say anything else. But which is good to use and edifying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I said to someone yesterday, we can record the communication and see what you say and what I say and see that I'm choosing the right word where I'm thinking about the Bible. I'm thinking what the Lord is saying. I got to be careful what we say, because we're supposed to be pleasing God. And there are angels from heaven keeping an account about our lives. And we're going to give account in the tribunal of Christ, the Bible says. I've been there in heaven. I was there. There was a woman that was brought forward. And they were asking her about her life and how she walked and lived as a Christian. And there were things she did that were not pleasing unto the Lord. And they were saying at the tribunal, why did you choose to do that and say that? She was giving an account among thousands of people that were sitting. Could you imagine all of us sitting together in heaven in a room? They're going to bring us forward there like a preacher for us to give an account where everyone will have to hear every word that proceeded out of our mouth, my brother and sister. Think about that. Every word that we have said against each other is going to come out. And if we say the good thing that we're supposed to say, that's fine. Because the word will be, oh, he was saying that you are a great man of God, that you are a great woman of God. That's supposed the way it is. My brother insisted, when we look at our sisters and brother, what are they? Great women and great men of God. That's what they are. We cannot say any different from that, because everyone here has been bought by the blood of Christ. My brother and sister, and they are special. The Lord Jesus told me this in heaven, that each and one of us are special to him. How can any of us say anything against each other? We cannot, because we are special to the Lord. And we are brothers and sisters, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And if we look at it that way through the word, and we live through that, it doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not going to get angry and say something we should not, but then we have to repent. You see, if we get angry, like Moses, what did Moses say about the people? Oh, gee, disobedience. There was another word he used. I was thinking about it the other night, that Moses said about the Israelite. My brother insisted. See if I can remember the word. There was a word he used. He used the word disobedient. Lord, help me remember the word. Rebel. OG rebel. Okay? And wicked. Because he was so angry that they continued to repeat the same sin, murmuring and complaining. And Moses had it after his head, as we say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows the hour, Brother Joseph, when the earthquake in California is going to happen. We're waiting on the Lord. We know all this stuff is close to happen. Thank you, Lord. But it's up to God, though, for it to happen. Thank you, Lord. But again, that it may minister the grace unto the hearer. Greet not the Holy Spirit of God. This is another problem. And we say things and do things that grieve the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. They grieve him. And guess what? The Holy Spirit was given to us until the day of salvation. Okay? Imagine him going with the church and the person staying behind without the Holy Spirit. That is going to be difficult. The Lord already showed me how difficult it's going to be without him. Anything of the flesh, lust, grieveth the Holy Spirit. Witchcraft, black magic, and all that grieveth the Holy Spirit. Because that is like believing in something else besides God. Okay, idolatry. That's why no idolater went into the kingdom of heaven. Because idolater give all their heart and soul and mind to that. They dedicate to that. When we should be dedicating to the Lord, my brothers and sisters, should be dedicating body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. Not to anything else, my brother and sister. And that's why the enemy is looking out to getting people focused on other things so he can get their soul. That is incredible. But it's happening. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In foul language, also, grieve the Holy Spirit. Bad language. I call it evil language because that's really what it is. Evil language, grieve the Holy Spirit. Foul language, the Bible says. Which means evil also. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Clearly that the work of the Holy Spirit that is in our life okay, is to redeem us to heaven. Redeem us to Christ. Redeem us fighting, my brother and sister. I remember at Norfolk, a pastor meeting. Two pastors ended up in the parking lot punching one another. Misunderstanding in a disagreement. You see why arguing and fighting is no good? Because usually in arguing and fighting, when the devil gets in, okay, the truth doesn't work. Because if we're not repenting properly, we're not seeking God properly, both of us, and the devil gets in, and the devil's not kicked out, the devil stays in there to bring confusion and deceiving and misunderstanding. And when there's always misunderstanding, there's no good conclusion out of it. There will be more fighting, more arguing, my brother and sister. So the first thing we should do when a disagreement, when there's an argument, is let's take it into prayer. Like the elder used to say, okay, let's take it into prayer. Let's pray about this and put it in the hand of the Lord and pray about it. Let God remove the devil, the demon from that misunderstanding. And by the time we come back in agreement, the understanding, you will notice that there was really not a problem. It was just a misunderstanding. But if you get on it, if you, oh, no, we got to fix it now. When there's no agreement, it will not be fixed. It will just bring more hurt and more fighting. And that's what we need to learn to avoid, my brother insisted. There is a time for everything that is done under the sun. And in the moment two persons are fighting and disagreeing, that's not the moment to say no, because they're not agreeing. And there's nothing worse when two persons are not agreeing. How can two work together, the Bible said, when they don't agree? It's in the book of Proverbs. It's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen, my brother insisted. It has to be with the Lord's help, okay? And the Lord, devil, I remember I had all these arguments with my brothers and sisters up in New Jersey, and we had all these disagreements. And then the Lord, you know, I was praying for them. The Lord took me in the spirit. It took me when we will meet together and come together once a year, twice a year. And I saw demon. I saw the devil, which I didn't see him before, but he was there causing the misunderstanding. And I'm like, oh, man. I was like, Lord, I didn't know that the devil was the one causing this misunderstanding. And he was there laughing it up. Okay? He was laughing it up. He was enjoying what he was causing, this argument. And when I began to bind and rebuke this demon and all this stuff, then when we came together again, okay, it was like we were more united. It was like sometime, like Jesus said, these don't go out without prayer and fasting. You need to pray. If your children are fighting, pray for them. And begin to break the whatever demon, whatever the devil's doing, okay? If you're a mother, you're fighting with your daughter, break that change, okay? Read Isaiah 58 and begin to break that chain and fast it. Take authority, begin to break it. Same thing with misunderstanding. Begin to break this yoke. Begin to break this chain, because you're going to notice that the demon will leave and the clear understanding will come through. And then the misunderstanding, we're like, it's like it's not even there. Then it brings more unity among the same, my brother insisted. Okay? It brings more unity. Praise the Lord. Very important that we understand this. Okay? It's how to manage it when it comes. Okay? It's better to stay away from it than to be part of it and then make it worse. Because we can make it worse. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. If you're already arguing with someone and you cannot understand a person, if you stay in that situation, okay, you're just going to make it worse. One of the two needs to pray. Because the problem with people today is no prayer life, no prayer. People think that 5 minutes, 10 minutes prayer is enough. And that's not enough for all the demons that are being loose out of the pit. They are causing more reckoning, more damaging than what people think. And this is why we're seeing so many divorces in the church, so many separation in the church, so much going on. that is not of God. My brother and sister, because a demon, instead of being rebuked, are being part of the conversation, are being part of the meeting, are being part of the argument. And when the devil's a part of the argument, it is a total mess, my brother and sister. And we need to learn as believers in Christ that we don't make it worse. We're not here to make it worse. We're here, my brother and sister, to have that communion and union that the Lord wants us to have in the Lord. My brother, this is very important. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do you notice how the devil, the demon, can come in and bring, my brother and sister, all bitterness? That's what continual argument brings, bitterness. Continual disagreement being bitterness. Okay? Wrath and anger. Oh, I'm so mad at you. People will say, I'm so mad at you. And then I keep doing it and doing it and doing it. It makes it worse. And evil. Notice clamor and evil. Okay? Evil speaking be put away from you. The Bible says evil speaking. Oh, no, I just said a bad word, brother, because I was so mad at you. That's evil speaking. That is evil speaking. And that offend, that divides, and that brings so much headache, psychologically, emotionally, as human has been studied, that if someone is yelling evil word to you, psychologically, it frustrates the person. And the person who stays in that relationship, and begin not to see straight, and begin to act in a negative way, and even being more disobedient, breaking God's commandment, and so much more. He says, speaking, put it away, he says. Put it away. We're all malice. Put it away. And that's the thing I used to do. I gave my phone number, remember, to hundreds of people, maybe thousands. It was available when I began the Lord's Tower. People were calling me all hours of the day and night. I didn't mind ministering to people. I didn't mind that God was using me to set them free on the phone and all that. But then a brother calling me, insulting me, telling me all kinds of obscene words, evil words from Florida. And I'm like, I gave him my phone number so I can minister to him. And God was using me. He's growing in the Lord. God had even blessed him with money. He received a large amount of money, which he had lost his house before, and we were praying. Then God gave him close to $1 million. And I said, listen, brother, now that we have prayed, you know, don't misuse the money. Get yourself a nice house. Pay it off. $300,000-$400,000 home get. You have $300,000-$400,000 in the bank account. Use that money wisely. Go to work. You know, support yourself wisely. Don't get into debt like you did before. He got really mad and offended. And I was giving him a good advice because I saw what he went through when he lost his home. It's not easy to someone to lose their home, lose their car, lose everything they love. In a good neighborhood he loved, he lost everything. But then we continue to pray, continue to minister, and God supplied him close to $1 million. And I said, now use it what you had. You know, really, you know, commit yourself to the Lord. Continue to seek the Lord. See how great the Lord is, that you lost everything and you thought you were going to live on the street. And God made this miracle happen after we pray. See how good God is. My brother and sister, but he called me one day and insulted me, telling me all kinds of things, word on the phone. And I said, this is not what my phone is. And other people kept doing the same. I said, no, it's not going to happen. I'm going to change my number. I will only give it to those that really love and respect what we do, my brother and sister. Not the people that want to take it as anything else up there, like a bar, that they can go and do whatever. No, it's not, my brother and sister. We're here for the Lord, for our brothers and sisters that we love the Lord. We have dedicated our life to Jesus. How dedicated are for the ministry. We want to do this for the Lord. Not like the world. That's why Paul says, not like the other Gentiles. because they're all about drinking and getting drunk and go getting, doing things they're not supposed to, doing evil. We're not about that. We're staying away from all that because we want to live the life that pleases the Lord. This is what this is about, my brothers and sisters. Is our life pleasing the Lord? Because in the end of the day, that's what really matters. We want to go to heaven. We want to be with God. Our life must be pleasing the Lord. It cannot be any other way. Thank you, Lord. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. A few weeks back, I was going through something really hard, and I was having trouble with some people. And the Lord took me to heaven, and I saw Jesus. I went to the Lord. I wanted to talk to the Lord about this. And I said, Lord, how can I deal with this situation? I said to Jesus. Jesus was standing right in front of me. He had a wedding garment. He looked so handsome, more beautiful than 10,000 put together. And he's there. And Jesus looked at me, and he told me how he dealt with love and forgive them. Love them, he says, and forgive them, and how he dealt with the situation. He told me to do the same, my brother and sister. And so that's how we approach the situation. Love them. Don't say, oh, I hate this person. If I hear someone next to me saying, I hate this person, I tell them, no, we're not about hating. We're about loving. If you're having a hard time dealing with someone, if you don't want to call them or you don't want them to talk to you no more, cut off all communication and pray for them. Really pray for them. Really go to the Lord every day for them and say, Lord, please work on this person's life, on this person's heart. Stay away from the person and pray for them, my brother and sister. It's the best. Let the Lord, invite the Lord in the situation. Let God work with that person and get their head, their life straight. God can do that through prayer, my brother and sister. Not like some people say, no, I'm going to give this person a piece of my mind and then make it worse. Because we've done that in the past. Has it worked? No. In regard to the vaccinated, I'm going to tell you this. A sister contacted me a couple of days ago. It says, my daughter who's vaccinated took my card and left. I'm not going to say no name. And we pray, and I know the Lord brought her daughter back to the house safe. The Lord told me, the Lord reminded me, is what the Lord reminded me to pray for them both, okay? The vaccinated and the non-vaccinated, the Lord had me pray for them, my brother and sister, okay? Which I was like, okay, Lord, listen, the vaccinated, if you look at them as your enemy, what did Jesus say? Love thy enemy. If you look at them that are persecuting you, coming against you, pray for them that persecute you, Jesus said. How are you looking at the people that are vaccinated? Are you looking at them as your enemy? Are you looking at them as they are persecuting you? Love thy enemy and pray for them that are persecuting you. That is the solution to the problem, my brother and sister. You don't need to come against them. If you can avoid them, okay. But if there's your family and they live in your home, love them. Love thy enemy. The Lord can protect you from them. Okay? The Lord can protect you from them. The Lord can keep the hedge of protection between you and them. And the Lord, my brother and sister, when the righteous are right with the Lord, he'll make his enemy happy and peace with them. God is in control. God knew before he created this earth that one day people will not be listening to his prophet, his word, and be vaccinated, and their soul will be removed from their body. God knew this before he created everything, because God knows the fallen angel. Do you think Satan and the fallen angel are surprising God? Oh, what a surprise. I didn't expect them to come up with what I seen, where they will separate people from their body. Not God. That is you and I. But thank God. God knew what they were capable of. Did he not say it will be like in the days of Noah and like in the days of Lot? My brother and sister. And the Lord will protect us from the plan of the wicked. He will destroy the plan, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. He will destroy the plan. Whatever plan they're putting together against us, who do you think is going to fall in the plan? They are, not us. Because the Lord, who is mightier than they, will protect us. We just got to get the Lord involved in our life and all this. And through prayer, the Lord is going to do it. That's what he wants to do. The problem with a lot of people is they're giving up. They don't want to deal with it anymore. And here's the thing. When God wants you to deal with something, and you're saying to God, I don't want to deal with it. You see that? You're contradicting your God. You're contradicting your Lord. God is saying, I want you to deal with it. And you say, but I don't want to deal with it. Get right with God, my brother and sister. Let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother, he knows best. What do we know? We'll make mistakes every day. God doesn't. He knows exactly how to deal with the devil, with demons, with vaccinated people. He knows exactly how to deal with them, my brother and sister. We just need to trust the Lord through all this because he's in control. And he's going to bring us into a new day very soon. Why do you think he's taking out his bride very soon? He has left his bride here this long so he can have mercy on the lost. But the time has come when the gospel has been preached unto all the nations. And what they must say, Matthew 24, then the end will come. Now God dealing with Israel. Israel is surrounded by the enemy. Israel is earth, God's time clock, my brother and sister. And what's happening now is that Israel now is surrounded. And Israel will be attacked. Biden, Kamala Harris, and them are making threat. Schumer is making threat against Netanyahu. They want to remove him out of office. And he's getting other people right up in office to remove Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu, brothers and sisters. They've been planning this, and they think they're going to get away by removing Netanyahu. They got another leader in Israel they want to put in office, someone that will listen to them and do whatever they want, not necessarily the best interest of the Jewish people. But God Almighty, who's in control, as we keep praying for Israel, he's going to align everything in place. This is what happens when you and I pray. God aligns everything right. The devil wants to push it to the left. God will align it, and it will not be moved because his kingdom cannot be moved, my brother and sister. That's why prayer is so important, and God is calling his people into prayer. Even in the last second before we go home, or millisecond in the spirit, we're in the last millisecond before the rapture, God is still calling us to pray. And it might be like the Lord has said before, pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for the people around you, your brothers and sisters. Pray for one another, my brother and my sister. Because I tell you, just for me to come here and share the message, the revelation from the Lord, my brother and sisters, it's like the earth wanted to flip over with things I see going on around my life. But you know what? I understand one thing. The Lord is in control, and I must be obedient to the Lord, no matter what, my brother and sister. I must be. You know, just to share a short testimony, I felt the other day I was having a heart attack. It felt like a stroke. I began to rebuke stroke in me and rebuke it. And I know I've seen people paralyzed with a stroke. You see what Sister Barbara, part of her body paralyzed because of stroke. You know, I know they're coming against me spiritually. Okay? Thank you, Lord. But the Lord, I began to pray to the Lord. And a heart attack, I felt my heart heavy. Like one of my blood vessels has something that the blood was not even flowing. And it was like I was passing out. Dizzy. I could hardly move anymore. And I began to rebuke, bind and rebuke whoever was causing this against my health, against my life. I was binding it. I was rebuking it. And I kept binding. I kept calling the name of the Lord. And I kept binding and I kept rebuking. I said, Lord, by your stripe, by your wound, I am healed. And I just kept doing it nonstop. my brother and sister, and so the Lord responded to me, to my help, because the Lord is our helper, is crying out before the Lord, knowing that you're at the moment of a heart attack, a stroke, your whole body is about to be paralyzed. Your thank you, Lord. And right there, who do you call at that very moment? Who do you contact and say, my sister, my brother, I really need you to pray for me because your whole body is being paralyzed. Cannot even move your hand. Cannot move your shoulder. I was sitting. I could not move. Could not move at all. And my whole body, my heart was heavy. Heavy like something you can carry. You have to hold because you feel like your heart wants to drop out of your chest. Could you imagine that? I don't know if any of you had that kind of feeling. Your heart became so heavy that it wants to drop down. Whatever vein, muscle holding your heart, they were giving up. And your whole heart is about to drop down to your belly. I don't know. I did not stop praying and repenting, whatever it was. And I kept repenting. I kept praying. I said, Lord, if I said anything wrong, if I done anything wrong, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, and you're checking yourself with heart. You're going to the Lord. And I kept praying. The Lord was quiet. And yes, my blood pressure was high, but my wife has a machine. She puts the machine in one of my arm, and it was really high, very, very high. And it's the moment when you want to call the ambulance, take them to the hospital. But I had learned in the Lord that I'm going to call the Lord first. My 911 is first to heaven, then to men. Because I said to the Lord, you are my healer. You are my doctor. You are the God that healeth me. As you said to the children of Israel, that you send your word to them and you heal them all. Lord. And I just kept praying nonstop. My wife was so afraid, so afraid. High blood pressure. Really, my heart was really up, way over 100. And she got scared. Said, no, let me continue to pray. Let me continue to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And continue to pray. The next day, I got a little bit better. She still took my pressure. It was still high, very high, but I continue to pray. No complaint came out of my mouth, just prayer and prayer and prayer, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And prayer. And by the third day, everything, by the power of God, by the healing of Jesus, by the mercy of the Lord was bringing me back again, my health back. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. On the third day, notice that everything happens on the third day. He died on Friday. He resurrected on Sunday. My brother and sister, on the third day, the Lord was embracing me, his presence. Hallelujah. I didn't feel that on the first day. On the second day, a little bit. But on the third day was when that presence came, that healing presence came. And he began to restore me back in my health. And you know, one of the things that some people say, oh, I panic. Don't panic. And if you panic a little, it's normal. But learn to cry out to the Lord when you go through a heart attack or stroke. Because people have been paralyzed, including Christians. Okay? Including Christians. Even young people. Young people get stroke in the early 20s. Okay? And so that's the thing, that as long as you can pray and cry out to the Lord, you need to do it. You need to be in that action. You need to practice. How do you increase your faith? You practice every day. You pray. Yes, pray for one another. Pray for people. The Lord's having me pray for thousands of people. I don't even remember the name of the people that asked me for prayer, but I have received hundreds are people coming back to me telling me the Lord had answered my prayer, Brother Elvis. Thank you for praying. Because when I bring people's prayer to the Lord tells me it's done. It is done. Almost every night he said that to me. I come to him in prayer. I stay with him overnight. And I said, look at this prayer, Lord, this prayer request from this family, salvation, healing, and all that. And God says, done. It's done. So I know he's answering all these people's prayer. My brother, some people receive it right away. Some receive it in a few weeks, in a few months. Some receive it in a couple of years, in a year. Everyone is different. And I believe it's according to people's faith, because Jesus, when he came to do a healing, he says, let it be done according to thy faith, he says. And that's how I base it. If someone had not received something that they should have received, it's because their faith is not there. So what do you say then? Lord, increase my faith. The disciples said, Luke 17, Lord, increase our faith. The Lord was doing all kinds of miracles, and they noticed that they were not doing it so. It was not happening to them. Then they said, well, we have a lack of faith problem here. Lord, increase our faith. And that's really what it is, a lack of faith. Thank you, Lord. And that's a good advice. Don't worry about anything. Because sometimes we do, my brother and sister. And thank you, Lord. Yes, garlic. I take garlic almost every day. Blood thinner. Very important to take care of ourselves, my brother and sister. But all this is part of the test that we're going through in life. That's what it is. It's all part of the test that we're going in life, my brother and sister. We're not going to die a day before our time, an hour before our time. We're going to go home at the moment God says, you are coming home, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. So it's very important. Very important. Sister giving a lot of advice. Don't take hot bath. This stresses your blood before your blood pressure. Or taking hot bath, which everybody usually do, especially when the weather comes down and it gets cold. We will have it summer temperature here, my brother and sister, 70 plus. Everybody was excited. Ordered a sign for a couple of days, dropped to the 50. Then everyone was like, we were in summer. What happened? But see, that's the way it is. Okay, my brother and sister, everything was great. And with these changes of temperature, 30 degrees, 37 degrees from what it was, it's like, what is going on here? But the temperatures are crazy. Okay? I was talking with my mom on the phone from the island. She was telling me the wind has been really nonstop over there. And I said, Mom, it's been nonstop over here. Okay? The wind has been blowing here. I have a wind generator. And it needs like 20 mile wind to generate power, right? And I can look it out of my window. It's been flying with the 40 plus mile wind that we've been getting. That thing needs 20 mile wind to be moving to generate power. And it's been like crazy generating power. Years back, we had not seen this. Okay, we have not seen this, but again, and yes, part of it is lack of exercise in our own life. We need to take care of ourselves even better. I've been doing my morning walk. I walk my son to the bus, my brother and sister. Sometimes I tell him, just go, I'll keep an eye on you. But I said this morning, no, I'm going with you. I need my morning exercise. So every morning at 6 o'clock, 6:20-something, I'm walking with him, my brother and sister. Thank you. Even though if I stay in my overnight prayer, I still got to go for that walk. It's important that our health is in top shape. We take care of ourselves. Brother Brandon, the Lord told him online, he got great testimony. The Lord told him that we need to exercise. We need to take care of ourselves, my brother and sister. And you notice that when you exercise, you lose weight. I can lose weight quickly by just walking, exercising, and doing things. I used to play basketball, and I used to stay thin. My brother and sister, 170, even 140. The more for my height, 6'3", I think it's 165, 170. That should be my normal weight. I'm over that now. But if I really get into it, my exercise, I'll lose weight, I'll stay thin. It's really about taking care of ourselves, my brother and sister. We put that extra pound, that extra weight, it's not good for us. Okay? And I'm taking now cider, that apple cider. I'm putting a tablespoon of water. You won't believe how good that works in your health. It really helps you. I've been doing it for 4 days now, five. I feel like I'm losing weight with it quickly. In 4 or 5 days, I had lost a few pounds, my brother and sister. You begin to feel more light, and that helps you. I seen video online people taking that. They have even made pill out of it on Amazon. Apple cider. We had also the apple cider gummies. That's also good. That helps a lot too. But I'm taking it with water, my brother and sister. And I notice it cleanses your body. It really does. And you feel great. You really feel you can sleep better after it. Once you take it, especially if you take it at night, before you go to sleep, you take it with water. And I tell you, it works. Thank you, Lord. So we need to take care of ourselves. Hallelujah. But very soon, I'm getting my glorified body. I'll be back in my 20s, steady forever. Steady 20s forever. And that's why, thank you, Lord. That's what's exciting about all this. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, I don't have nothing against anyone, any of you. I love you all in the Lord. Hallelujah. And sometimes I wish I can tell people more. I love you, my brother and sister. But I know for a certain reason, it is not better to say it. But, you know, I tell you, my brother and sister, I'm looking forward to seeing each and one of you in heaven and being neighbors and being in the park together and sharing meal in the park and talking about the Lord and the goodness of God. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. Please do your best to be in repenting, to be getting ready to come home so we can meet. The Lord show me that most of the people in the Lord's hour are going to be my neighbors in heaven. He showed me the mansion a few months back. Show me where we're going to be living. Show me the Lord's park where we're going to meet and have this conversation with one another. I want to see there, each and one of you. I do not want to see none of you stay behind. Please do your best to be unrepenting. I want to see you in heaven. I want to come out to you and give you a hug and tell you I love you in heaven. Because you're not going to tell me that was out of your flesh that you told me you love me, Brother Elvie. You can say that here on earth and misunderstand. But I want to see you in heaven, give you a really hug you with my arm around you and tell you, I love you. Kiss you on your cheek and say, I love you. We're here. We're neighbors. Let's stick together. Praise the Lord. Let's stick together as a family. We're going to be a family. The Lord show it to me. The Lord, I believe, is excited about all this. I'm excited. I am excited. The Lord has shown this to me in different occasions. You will be with your brothers and sisters in heaven. Even in the millennium, he has shown me this. 1,000 years with Christ. You will be with them. And that's, you know, that's part of my joy. Part of the joy of the Apostle Peter was to see his brothers and sisters come home with him, come to heaven and be with him. That was his joy. The brothers and sisters coming to heaven. That's my joy to see each one of you come to heaven very soon and be neighbors. My brother and sister, that is amazing. That, to me, that is so valuable. I remember, you know, one of the brothers the Lord showed me that my mansion is really close to his mansion, his brother Tony, my brother and sister. And I told this to Brother Tony. We our mansion are so close. Then we also got Brother Ben. We have several brothers and sisters that our mansions like are next to each other, and we're gonna have meeting with one another. The Lord is giving us like this conference rooms that we're gonna come together once in a while, you know. Unless you're on the throne talking with God, or you're somewhere in the bottom of a river or somewhere, or you know, you're doing your Bible study or doing something. We're all gonna be doing something different, but there will be time. The Lord show me. Well, we're going to come together and meet. We haven't met by coincidence, in case you're wondering. We have met by the plan of God. This was the plan of the Lord, that you and I will meet. and comes together and be one as a family. And the Lord is going to make it happen, my brother and sister. He's going to make it happen. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to love one another. And his love, as he said to his disciple, as I love you, love one another, he says. And that's the key. That is the key that's going to keep us united in the Lord, my brother and sister. When he has shown me, when he has shown me in heaven thousands of brothers and sisters from the Lord's tower in heaven, I was like, Lord, he wanted to surprise me with this and show me all these people. I'm like, Lord. And the Lord said, you know, all those people came from the Lord's tower. He saved them, and they were all in heaven. And I said, Lord, all these thousands of people. He says, all of them. And I was so excited. I don't remember being so excited about seeing my brothers and sisters in heaven. So many of them, my brothers and sisters. That's my joy. That's what I want to see. You coming forward, you know. Even when I'm in heaven, the Lord going to allow me to come to the millennium. Whoever stay behind, I want my brothers and sisters, I'm going to go there to encourage them. Okay? I'm going to encourage them, my brothers and sisters. And say, hey, listen, I'm going to appear to them. The Lord's going to allow me to do this. Appear to them in the great tribulation. And say, here I am, my brothers and sisters. What are you doing here, Brother Elvis? Some people I say, here, I come to encourage you. And I know they think, oh, you're having it so great, you're in heaven, but look, we're down here. No, the Lord is faithful. And you need to continue to repent. You need to continue to think. Forget about those demons that are chasing you and are looking you out, the beast that wants to eat you. Forget about them. Focus on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Lord will help you to make it through. He is the one that wants to be there for you. And we're going to encourage one another, my brother and sister. I was telling, I saw myself coming down. Brother Ben was there. There were other sister, brother there with me. And we came together. We hold hands in the great tribulation as we came down from heaven. And clothing appeared. And food appeared, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And that's great. Whoever doesn't want to stay behind, that is awesome. That's great news. Because that means you'll be repenting. And you're not going to take nothing for granted because you want to be going home. Thank you, Lord, for that. Food will appear. Clothing will appear. And notice some of the women were naked, some of the men also. And we gave them clothing. Which I told those sisters that were there with us, go help that sister get dressed. And then we were helping the guys ourselves to get dressed, my brother and sister. Because remember, as they turn into beasts, they tear their clothing. And like 5 years into the, 4 years into the Great Tribulation, there's no clothing on the earth. There's no warehouse in making clothing anymore. There's no clothing at all. Everyone is naked. I mean, can you imagine seeing hundreds of thousands of people, men and women, naked? No, you cannot imagine that. But that's the way the Great Tribulation is. Because they're turning into beasts every day. They turn huge. 2 or 3 times more, my brothers and sisters, than their size, and they tear the clothing. The clothing is not good anymore. And for some reason, they just start, when they start turning into werewolf and beasts, they're bigger, their claw, like dog, like lepers, they begin to tear their clothing. The clothing bothers them, and they begin to tear them. And then, my brother and sister, they end up having no clue at the end of the day. So destroying all the clothing and taking it from the mall and all the Walmarts, Target, Marshall, Kohl's, all these stores, they go empty. My brother says, all the clothing stores go empty. And so then people need clothes. And we come down and pray, and the Lord makes it appear. Perfect size for them, my brother and sister. Okay? No problem. The Lord makes it appear. We pray the Lord, and then makes the food appear. Now, I don't know how many times we can come down to do this. if it once a month, you know, because people need to eat every day, right? But in that situation, we're probably not going to worry about that because they cannot die anyway. They will have to get a meal once a month, like, you know, whatever it is. Because in heaven, we were not going to be able to tell if a month passed by. The Lord will have to tell us, okay, a month passed by, you can go back and pray that I can clothe them and give them food. So we're going to have to be checking with the Lord what time is down here. Because I don't think he'll allow us to bring a watch to heaven when we go home in the rapture. I don't think we can take anything anyway. So, you know, unless he allow me to bring a watch, then, you know, but then the body will run out. So I don't know. Taking it out, my brother and sister. But I'm telling you, the situation changes. And, you know, things are really difficult out here. But people need to go through things to understand the mercy of God and change their ways, because a lot of people are not changing their way. That's why repenting is so important, because repenting, you're telling God, look, God, I want to change. Please help me. And then the Lord helps you and things changes. When the Lord helps you, things changes, my brother and sister. They don't stay the same. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants to, my brother and sister, change everything in our lives. Because if it's according to the flesh, it's evil. It's wicked. The desires of the flesh are wicked and evil, fallen. Hell are the desire of the flesh. And some people have not come to that understanding. No desire of your flesh, my flesh, are equal to hell. And that's why people end up in hell because of them. So repenting, seeking the Lord for you to help you with the flesh, is telling you, the Lord, I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I need you to help me with this flesh, the desire of this body. And the Lord will say, amen, here is my son. I'm here, your daughter. I'm here, my son. And will help you and I to change our ways and go to the right instead of to the left. The Lord keeps us right. The devil wants to keep us left, my brother and sister. Jesus is always right. He wants to keep you and I right with God. And he's the only one that can help us stay right with God. There's no other way. He understands what we're going through because he went through it himself. Even though for 33 and a half years, he went through it. So he knows the desire of the flesh that are wicked. And that's why he wants us to cry out to him, Lord, help me with this flesh. Help me with my life, Lord, because it's a mess. Take the mess and make them right. Cleanse them all and make them right. Make them straight, my brother and sister. And this is why we cry out to him every day. Prayer, cry out to the Lord, my brother, my sister. Not depending, leaning on your own understanding, but trust the Lord in all your way. Seek him every day. Cry out to him. As worse as it gets, your life gets every day, as much as the Lord will change you, to much as forgiven, much as love. You will see the love of God in your life if you are repenting all your sin. If you say, but Brother Obi, I don't remember my sin. That's where it comes to help of the Lord, to help you remember. This week he was reminding me things when I was little, desire of me when I was little. Someone else told me today, another sister told me today, that the Lord was putting her through the same, cleansing our things from the past. So it's a process to you and I. I take vitamins almost every day, but I also want to depend on the Lord, not just on the vitamins, because sometimes all we do depend on medication, and we become a victim of medication, because medication can harm your body. I was watching online, they're putting chemical preservative medication that are harmful for our health. Do you think they care to do so? Okay. Praise the Lord. So, even when they say it is 100%, I heard a guy saying that his stuff was 100%. But then he said, no, it's 99% because we have to put preservative on it to preserve it. I said, there you go. If it's 99.9% but there's still preservative in it, then it's not 100% as they claim. Oh, orange juice is 100%. It's a lie. They have to put preservative to preserve the juice for several days because they all go bad. And I was talking to a guy who works in the products business. That's his business. And I said, is there preservative on everything? He said, yes, Can you explain perseverance to me? Because I tell them, I was not born here. I came here when I was young. I was 14, but I was not born here. Can you explain it to me? He says, yeah, let me explain it to you. And he was telling me from the least to the highest and telling me the one that company preferred, because it's always a preferred or a recommended one, and that is in the one in between, my brother and sister. Even honey get preservative. He was telling me about that. I said, wow, 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 wow. And that's what our body fights every day. That's why people are start having stomach pain, fever, dizziness, and a bunch of other things. Their body is fighting all kinds of things that is in our food and it's in our medication. They're not going to change their ways. They're not going to do it any other way because they think it works for them, my brother insisted. They're making a lot of money with it. Why will they change it? Why will they make it any other way? Make it any other way when they're making a lot of money. But that's the sad part, is hurting people with it. So instead of just being dependable on medication, be more dependable on the Lord and do take your medications. My brother, because God has given the wisdom for the medication. But be dependable on the Lord. That means that some people may say, I'll take my medication. I don't worry about praying. No. Pray first. Seek the healing of the Lord and take the medication also. And wait upon the Lord, and the Lord will bring you healing. But make the Lord first above all. That's what God wants, that he is first. That we don't say, well, I need medication, or I need to go see a doctor. No, Lord, I need you. More than every day, I need you, Lord. And I need you to heal me, Lord. I need you to bring healing to my life, into my health, Lord. I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray for this. And then as you commit your life and do this, and you're repenting every day, you'll find out that you're getting better health. Your health. See, if I've been dependent only on medication when I have stroke and heart attack, I would have been dead years ago. But since I'm dependable on the Lord first, then the Lord keeps me alive. The Lord made sure I'm alive because he's in control. And he has to be first. There cannot be any other way, my brother and sister. You need to understand that God is in control, my brother and sister. And he is going to make a way where it seems no way. God, my brother and sister, will make a way. Trust him with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That dates back to 1937. It was had by a 17-year-old boy, and it caused quite a stir among the Pentecostal people at that time throughout America because it was publicized in this magazine, Prophecies of Tomorrow. And I'd always just been able to get excerpts of it. Somebody said he said this and saw this and saw this. But the other day I was sitting up there in Canada and a young boy began to ask me questions about the earthquake because he'd heard my sermons on prophecy and began to ask me, and one of them spoke up and says, well, you ever heard this? And Danny O'Million is the one who did. He said, well, Brother Green, I know where that is. So they looked me up a copy of it that their father had way back a long time ago. Now, I want to give you some dates on this so that you'll understand and try to get the feeling of it. 1906 is when the San Francisco earthquake occurred. You know, the one everybody talks about, the great San Francisco earthquake. Now, that one happened at the beginning of the year, and then right about that time, the Azusa Street Revival happened also. Were you aware of that? That you know that they came together. There were some people then that felt that the earthquake in San Francisco was a sign from God, and that it caused people to be receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ in Azusa Street. This young boy had an accident. He was riding his horse, and he fell off of the horse, and he was in the hospital. And he had a severe headache, I don't know whether you had a head injury or what it was, but this, the best that I can decipher it, he dreamed four nights in a row. And each night, a little bit more detail. Some of the things was repeated. So I want you to notice as I read this, keep in mind it was in 1937. And remember the things that were not available in 1937, that were not there, that he saw. Now, this created a stir in 1938 when it was published. But they didn't know then whether these things is going to be. But when you see now the things that he saw have come to pass, then we should look at it and says, well, he was someplace. Remember in the film, Deep called Deep, Brother Branham said, you take a dreamer. He says, dream me a dream. You can't dream a dream if you want to. He said, now a seer says his subconscious knowledge right here and said he can dream a dream with his eyes wide open. But some people have a deep subconscious and they go to sound asleep and they never dream a dream. But he said, if you dream a dream, that's part of you that somewhere, that's another dimension. So let me try to give you this tonight in a few minutes. There's about four or five pages of it here. And let me just give it to you. He said, I was in the hospital room with a terrific headache. And he said, it was as the whole world was revolving inside my brain. Vaguely, the fall from my horse, Blackie. And as I lay there, pictures began to form in my mind. Pictures that moved with the speed of lightning, but pictures that stood still. I seemed to be in another world. Whether it was in the future, whether it was in some ancient land, I can't say. Then slowly, like the screen of the talkies, but with color and smell and sound. Remember, it was silent movies back then. I seemed to find myself in Los Angeles. It was Los Angeles. It was bigger, much bigger. There were buses and odd-shaped cars crowded the city streets. I thought about Hollywood Boulevard. And I found myself there on Hollywood Boulevard. Whether this is true, I don't know, but there was a lot of guys about my age, 17, but they had beards. And some of them were wearing earrings. All the girls wore short skirts, and they slouched along, moving like a dance. He said, I wondered if I could talk to them. I said, hello, but they didn't hear me or see me. I decided that I would look as funny to them as they looked to me. I tried for a while, but that crazy kind of walk, I guess it's something you have to learn. I couldn't do it. How many of you know what he's talking about now? I noticed there was a quietness, a kind of stillness, as if you could hear stillness. Something was missing, something that should be here. At first, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what it was, but then I did. There were no birds. I listened. I walked two blocks north on the boulevard, past all the houses, but no birds. I wondered what had happened to them. Had they gone away? Where? It was so still I could hear the stillness. I'd never experienced anything like that, but I listened. Just stillness. Then I knew something was going to happen. I wondered what year it was. It certainly was not 1937. I saw a newspaper on the corner with a picture of the president. It wasn't Mr. Roosevelt. He was bigger, heavier, had big ears. If it wasn't 1937, I wondered what year it was. I looked at the mast of the headline, and I couldn't quite make it out, but it looked like 1969. I wasn't sure. My eyes weren't functioning on it, but something was coming, and it was. The nurse woke me up to take my temperature. I woke up thinking, what a crazy dream. The next night, he said, my headache is worse. It's a wonder I didn't get killed on that horse. I've had another crazy dream. It was back in Hollywood. I saw those people, and I wondered, why did they dress like that? I found myself back on the boulevard, but this time I was waiting for there was something to happen. Something big was going to happen, and I was going to be there. I looked up at the clock down by that big theater. It was 10 minutes to 4, 3:50 in the afternoon. That's where all the movie stars put their handprints and footprints and names and all. I recognized a few of them. The other names I'd never heard. Those crazy kids. Why are they all dressed like that? Maybe it's some Halloween doings or something. But it don't seem like Halloween. He had pretty good perception, didn't he? He said it was more like early spring. There was that sound again, that lack of sound. Stillness, stillness, stillness. He wondered, don't these people know that the birds have gone somewhere? The quiet is getting bigger and bigger. I know it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. It's happening now. And again, the nurse woke him up. The next night, he dreamed again. Where have I been? He said, rather, where haven't I been? I've been to the ends of the earth and back. I've been to the end of the world. There isn't anything left, not even Fresno, even though I'm lying right there this minute. So he was in the hospital in Fresno. If only my eyes would get a little clearer so I could write all this down, nobody will believe me anyway. I'm going back to that last moment on the boulevard. He said this, some sweet kid went past, and he's talking about a girl that he saw. Said she was dragging little boys, twins, I guess, one by each hand. Her skirt was up, well, pretty high, and she had a tired look. I thought for a minute I could ask her about the birds, what had happened to them, and then I remembered she didn't see me. Her hair was all frizzy, way out all over her head. 1937, young girl, twin, miniskirt, looked like she's tired. You ever seen one under the influence? Frizzy hair. A lot of them I looked at looked like that, but she looked so tired and like she was sorry about something. I guess she was sorry before it happened, because it surely did happen. There was a funny smell. I don't know where it come from. I didn't like it. A smell like sulfuric acid, a smell like death. For a minute, I thought I was back in chemistry class. When I looked around for the girl, she was gone. I wanted to find her for some reason. It was if I knew something was going to happen and I could stay with her and help her. But she was gone, and I walked half a block, then saw the clock again. My eyes seemed glued on that clock. I couldn't move. I just waited. It was 5 minutes to 4 o'clock on a sunny afternoon. I thought I would stand there looking at that clock forever, waiting for the something to come. Then when it came, it was nothing. It was just nothing. It wasn't nearly as hard as the earthquake that we'd had 2 years before, and that's the one in 1935. The ground shook just an instant. People looked at each other, surprised. Then they laughed. I laughed too. So this was what I had been waiting for, this funny little shake. It meant nothing. I was relieved, and I was disappointed. What had I been waiting for? I started back up the boulevard, moving my legs like those kids. How did they do that? He said, I never found out. I felt as if the ground wasn't solid under me. I knew I was dreaming, and yet I wasn't dreaming. There was that smell again, coming like from the ocean. I was getting to the 5 and 10, Newberry's. And I saw the look on the kids' faces. Two of them were right in front of me coming my way, both with beards and one with earrings. One said, let's get out of this place. Let's go back east. He seemed scared. It was as if the sidewalks were trembling, but you couldn't seem to see them. Not with your eyes, you couldn't. And an old lady had a dog, a little white dog, and she stopped and looked scared and grabbed him in her arms and said, let's go home, Frau Frau. Mama's going to take you home. That poor little old lady hanging on to her dog. I got scared, real scared. I remembered the girl. She was way down the block, probably. I started to run. I ran and ran, and the ground kept trembling. I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it, but I knew it was trembling. Everybody looked scared. They looked terrible. One young lady just sat down on the sidewalk all doubled up. She kept saying, "Earthquake, it's the earthquake," over and over. But I couldn't see that anything was different. Then when it came, how it came, like nothing in God's world, like nothing. It was like the scream of a siren, long and low, or the scream of a woman that I had heard giving birth when I was a child. It was awful. It was as if something, some monster was pushing up the sidewalks. You felt it long before you saw it, as if the sidewalks wouldn't hold anymore. Let me stop right here and tell you that we have a tape recording of an earthquake that happened in Caracas, Venezuela. A brother was dubbing one tape into another, Brother Galdonas, and the earthquake happened down there, which was about a 6.5, and he had the tape recorder running, just taking it from one recorder to another without a wire, and the earthquake came, and it does. At first, it sounded like a siren coming, and when it got, the noise came to the highest peak, it sounded like about 10,000 motorcycles had passed, and you could hear it go off into the distance. I think we've still got that tape somewhere, but when I read this, I thought of that because I played that at the church years ago. He said, "I looked out at the cars. They were honking. They just kept moving. They didn't seem to know yet that anything was happening. Then a little white car, baby, half-sized one, came sprawling from the inside lane right against the curb." 1937. All the cars were alike. But when he saw this, there was big ones and there was little baby cars. He said that baby half-sized one came sprawling from the inside lane right against the curb. The girl who was driving it just sat there. She sat there with her eyes staring as if she couldn't move. But I could hear her. She whimpered like a little girl. She made funny noises. I watched her, thinking of the other girl. I said that it was a dream and I would wake up, but I didn't wake up. The shaking had started again, but this time different. It was a nice shaking, like a cradle being rocked for a minute. And then I saw the middle of the boulevard. It seemed to be breaking in two. The concrete looked as if it had been pushed straight up by some giant shovel. It was breaking in two. That's why the girl's car went out of control. And then a loud sound again, like I've never heard before. Then hundreds of sounds, all kinds of sounds. Children and women and those crazy guys with earrings. They were all moving, it seemed. Some of them above the sidewalk. I can't describe it. They were lifted up, and the waters kept oozing and oozing. The cries, it was awful. I woke up. I never want to have that dream again. The next night, he dreamed again. It came again, like the first time, which was a preview, and all I could remember was that it was the end of the world. I was right back there with all that crying, right in the middle of it. My eardrums felt that they were going to burst, noise everywhere, people falling down, some of them badly hurt, pieces of buildings, chips flying in the air. One hit me hard on the side of the face, but I didn't seem to feel it. I wanted only to wake up, to get away from that place. It had been fun in the beginning, the first dream, what I kind of knew I was going to dream the end of the world or something, but this was terrible. There were older people in the cars. Most of the kids were on the street. But those old guys were screaming and hollering as if anybody could help them. Nobody could help them. It was then I felt myself lifted up. Maybe I had died, I don't know, but I was over the city. It was tilting toward the ocean like tilting a picnic table. The buildings were holding better than you could believe. They were holding. They were standing. The people who saw that the buildings and they tried to cling to them or get inside, it was fantastic. like a building had a will of its own. Everything else breaking around them, and they were holding. I was up over them looking down. I started to root for them. Hold that line. I said, hold that line. Hold it. I wanted to cheer, to shout, to scream. If the buildings held, those buildings on the boulevard, maybe the girl with the two kids, maybe she could get inside. It looked that way for a long time, maybe 3 minutes. 3 minutes was like forever. Everybody was trying to get inside. They were going to hold. You knew they were going to hold, even if the waters kept coming up. Only they didn't. In 1937, they did not have building codes to satisfy earthquake. Now they do. Most of the buildings in Los Angeles now have been built to withstand earthquakes. And this boy had this dream about these buildings before they ever put that code in effect. He said, I've never imagined what it would be like for a building to die. A building dies just like a person that gives way. Some of the bigger ones did just that. They begin to crumble like an old man with palsy who couldn't take it anymore. They crumbled right down to nothing. And the little ones screamed like mad over and above the roar of the people. They were mad about dying, but the buildings died. I couldn't look anymore at the people. I kept wanting to get higher. I kept willing myself to go higher. Then I seemed to be out of it all, but I could see. I seemed to be up on top of Big Bear near San Bernardino. But the funny thing was that I could see everywhere. I knew what was happening. The earth seemed to tremble again. I could feel it, though, even though I was up high. This time it lasted maybe 12 seconds, and it was gentle. You couldn't believe anything so gentle could cause so much damage. But then I saw the streets of Los Angeles and everything between the San Bernardino Mountains and Los Angeles. It was all tilting toward the ocean, houses, everything that was left. I could see the big lanes, dozens of big lanes, still loaded with cars, five lanes in some places, and all the cars sliding in the same way. No freeways in 1937. No five-lane streets, 1937. Now the ocean was coming in, moving like a huge snake across the land. I wondered how late it was, and I could see the clock. Even though I wasn't there on the boulevard, it was 4:29. It had been half an hour. I was glad I couldn't hear the crying anymore, but I could see everything. Then, like looking at a huge map of the world, I could see what was happening on the land and with people. San Francisco was feeling it, but she was in no way like Hollywood or Los Angeles. I seemed to see it was the garlic fault, not just the San Andreas that was rocking San Francisco. It was moving just like that earthquake movie with Jeanette MacDonald and Clark Gable. I could see all those mountains coming together, the Sierra Nevada, San Andreas, and garlic. I knew what was going to happen to San Francisco. It was going to turn over because of garlic fault. It would turn upside down. It went quickly because of the twisting. I guess it seemed much faster than Hollywood, but then I wasn't exactly there. I was a long way off. I shut my eyes for a long time, I guess 10 minutes, and when I opened them, I saw the Grand Canyon. When I looked at the Grand Canyon, the great big gap was closing in. Boulder Dam was being pushed from underneath. And then Nevada, and on up to Reno, way down south to Baja, California. Mexico, too. It looked like some volcano down there was erupting along with everything else. I saw the map of South America, especially Colombia. Another volcanic eruption, shaking violently. Venezuela seemed to be having some kind of volcanic activity. Way off at the distance, I could see Japan on a fault, too. It was so far off, not easy to see because I was still up on Big Bear Mountain, but Japan started to go into the sea. I couldn't tell time then, and the people looked like dolls far away. I could hardly see it. In a minute or two, it seemed over. Everybody was gone. Nobody was left. I didn't know time now. I couldn't see a clock. I tried to see the island of Hawaii. I could just see huge tidal waves beating against it. The people on the streets were getting wet, and they were scared, but I didn't see anybody going into the sea. I seemed way around the globe, more flooding. Is the world going to be drenched? Constantinople. Black Sea rising. Suez Canal, for some reason, seemed to be drying up. Sicily, she didn't hold. I could see the map. Mount Etna shaking. A lot of this area seemed to go, but it seemed to be earlier or later. I wasn't sure of the time now. In England, huge floods, but no tidal waves. Water, water everywhere, but no one going in the sea. People were frightened and crying. Some places they fell in the streets on their knees and started to pray for the world. I didn't know the English people were emotional, but Ireland and Scotland, all kind of churches were crowded, it seemed, night and day. People were carrying candles, and everybody was crying for California. Nevada, parts of Colorado, maybe all of it, even Utah. Everybody was crying. Most of them didn't even know anybody in California. Nevada, Utah, but they were crying as if they had blood kin, like one family, like it happened to them. New York came into view. She was still there. Nothing had happened, yet water level was way up. Here things were different. People were running in the streets yelling, end of the world. Kids ran into the restaurants and ate everything they could get their hands on. I saw a shoe store with all the shoes gone in about 5 minutes. Fifth Avenue, everybody running. You see that here what he did is he saw rioting and looting, which you didn't have in 1937. Some radio blasting from a loudspeaker that in a few minutes the power might be put off. They must control themselves. Five girls were running like mad toward the YWCA, that place on Lexington or somewhere. They ran like they were scared to death. But nothing was happening in New York. I saw an old lady with garbage cans filling them with water. Everybody seemed scared to death. Some people looked dazed. The streets seemed filled with loudspeakers. It wasn't daylight. It was night. I saw like the next day and something, everything was topsy-turvy. Loudspeakers again about fuel tanks broken in areas. Storage of oil. People seemed to be looting markets. I saw a lot of places that seemed safe and people were not scared, especially the rural areas. Here everything was almost as if nothing had happened. People seemed headed to these places, some on foot, some on cars, but some had run out of fuel. I heard, or somehow I know, but somewhere in the Atlantic, land had come up, a lot of land. I was getting awful tired, and I wanted to wake up. I wanted to go back and check on that girl to know where she was and those two kids. I found myself back in Hollywood. It was still 4:29. I wasn't up on Big Bear then. I was perched right over Hollywood. I was just there, and it seemed perfectly natural in my dream. I could hear now. I could hear someplace a radio station blasting out, telling people not to panic. They were dying in the streets. There were pictures, movies. Some right in Hollywood, they were carrying on with all the shaking. One fellow in the picture was a little short guy who could have been scared to death, but he wasn't. He kept shouting and reading instructions, something about some kind of a plane that hovers overhead that's coming over. Two things he saw, television, the pictures flashing, and helicopters, which wasn't in 1937. But I knew they couldn't. Things were happening in the atmosphere. The waves were rushing up now, such waves, nightmare waves. Then I saw again Boulder Dam going up, pushing together, breaking apart. No Grand Canyon, it was pushing together. Boulder Dam was breaking apart. It was still daylight. All these radio stations went off the same time. Boulder Dam had broken. I wondered how everybody would know about people back east. That was when I saw ham radio operators. I saw them in the oddest places, if I were right there with them, like a little guy with glasses that kept sounding the alarm. One kept saying, "This is California. We're going into the sea. This is California. We're going into the sea. Get to the high places. Get to the mountains. All states west. This is California. We're going to the, I thought he was going to say sea, but I could see him. He was inland, but the waters had come in. His hand was still clinging to the table. He was going to get up so that once again he could say, "This is California. We're going into the sea." I seemed to hear this over and over for what seemed hours, just those words. They kept it up to the last minute, all of them calling out, "Get to the mountains. This is California. We're going into the sea." I woke up. It didn't seem as if I had been dreaming. I have never been so tired. For a minute or two, I thought it had happened. I wondered about two things. I hadn't found out what happened to that girl. I'd been thinking about it. I'm going home tomorrow. It was just a dream. It was nothing more. Nobody in the future of Hollywood Boulevard is going to wear earrings and those beards. Nothing like that's ever going to happen. That girl was just so real to me, that girl with those two kids. It won't happen, but if it did, how could I tell her? Maybe she isn't even born yet. To move away from California when she has her twins so she can't be on that boulevard that day. She was so real. The other thing, those ham operators hanging on like that, over and over, saying the same thing. "This is California. We're going into the sea. This is California. We're going into the sea. Get to the mountains. Get to the hilltops. California, Nevada, Colorado, Arizona, Utah. This is California. We're going into the sea." He says, "I guess I'll hear that for the rest of my life." Well, it's just a dream. But let me tell you, I think it's going to happen like that someday. I think it's going to happen like that someday. And I want to know, are we going to be somewhere listening for our name? Or are you just going to say, "Well, it's just another earthquake"? No, it's going to be the last one. And I believe when that one happens, there's going to be a resurrection. And I'm not one prone to say this, but I don't think you'll be safe to wait until it happens to make things right with God. There's an awful lot of people preaching today, "The Lamb's off of the mercy seat." And I believe that once God lets it begin to reign, I don't think anybody else got in the ark. And I don't see salvation. The faith of you being forgiven and cleansed of your sins being of effect after judgment strikes the earth. I just think it breaks a pattern. Someday, I believe, God will show us as a people that it's going to happen.
Now the decision has been made by God that He will bring the judgment to the earth. He will start shaking the earth like never before. And the judgment that are coming very soon now, okay, will not be held back. The Father will now hold back. The Father will bring the judgment to the earth. Okay? And the earthquake that is tied with California, okay, and how he's shown other people, it's tied with Mexico, Argentina, and many other countries around. This earthquake will practically destroy California. And the Lord has warned the people in California, his people, to get out of California. All of them will die in California. Okay, unless you got a specific word from the Lord to stay in California, that the Lord will protect you. Okay, if the Lord tells you that, that's fine. But the people that have not received a word from the Lord directly, that He will protect them in California, you need to get out of California as soon as possible. Okay, now, the other thing the Lord showed me is, besides the earthquake that is coming to California, that many have called me a liar, a false prophet. It doesn't matter. They say that too about the Lord and about the prophets. Don't mind me. Don't really take my sleep away. No way. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for those people that are coming against me All right? Because that proves that I've been called by the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for my enemy. Praise the Lord for my enemy. I praise God for my enemy. It's a blessing to have enemies because it shows who you are before God. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for my enemy. All right? And that God will have mercy on their soul. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon as after this earthquake comes in California, there's a soon-to-come tsunami. All right? Very close after the earthquake in California happens. All right? The Lord's been speaking to me about this, mostly showing these things to me. And this earthquake, this tsunami that is coming after the earthquake in California, it's going to hit New York. It's going to hit New Jersey. Connecticut will be affected. And Boston, downtown Boston, will be affected very, very bad. Okay? And I've seen the damage after this tsunami hit. All right? And I've seen Boston, most of the city destroyed underwater, New York underwater, New Jersey underwater, and many other states will be underwater, many other cities. All right? Now, if you are living right now in one of these cities or one of these states, you need to seek the Lord, whether he wants you to stay where you are, okay? Because the Lord has been speaking to people in New York directly to them through dreams and many spiritual experiences where he's been telling them that they need to get out now, okay? Just today, the Lord has spoken to people in California who's been waiting for a word to get out. The Lord has spoken to them, get out, get out, get out, because they will die if they stay. So this is very important, brothers and sisters that are watching me, that you go to the Lord and you ask the Lord, or if you have a prophet in your church, which is a true prophet of God, you need to seek the Lord for his protection, for his leading. You need to have the Holy Spirit lead you in the decision whether to get out, yes or not. If the Lord tells you to stay where you are, he will protect you. Okay? Like he told me here where I am, the tsunami will come close to where I am. But the Lord has told me very clearly, and the Father himself too, I don't want you to move from that apartment. I want you to stay there. I will protect you and your family there, right where you are. So this is why I haven't looked for another apartment. I haven't moved to another apartment. I got order from God the Father to stay in this apartment. And I'm listening to God, and I will now move. All right? He has confirmed this to me through another prophet, and he's been very clear to me. He wants me here. He told me he got powerful angel protecting me. All right? And he will not let anything harm me. All right, as long as I stay in obedience with him. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, that you are seeking the Lord. Okay? After the second tsunami, okay, there will come another tsunami. All right? This is a much bigger tsunami. Okay? It won't be within months after this one, after the second one. But once that second tsunami comes, there will be a third tsunami, greater than that. The Father has made his decision, okay, to destroy great part of the earth with great part of the people. Millions will die, okay? And the Lord has shown to me that as soon as the earthquake in California hits and the tsunami, thousands of people will come to my house seeking for a word from the Lord. I will have thousands of people in front of my house, and he showed me I couldn't get out of my house because there's so many people asking me, brother, brother, what's coming next? What's coming next? Okay? I've been very specific from the Lord. I have received direction from the Lord. I have the Lord standing in front of me. Confirming this thing for me, okay? I'm not second guessing. I'm not guessing nothing. What I'm receiving straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of people have asked the Lord about this, and the Lord has told them that the word I'm giving is from Him. It's not my word. Okay? Destruction is coming to America. Sorry to say this. This is a great country who has helped the Jewish people, who has helped the poor around the world. But it has been the Lord Jesus Christ who used America to bless other countries and who have blessed America in all these years. Okay? But the Father has said, enough is enough. The sin in this country has gone before the throne of God. And God said, enough is enough. He has called America to repentance through His prophets, but they have not listened to His prophet. They have ignored His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They have taken the Lord for granted. And to the Father, there's not a greater sin that we, God's people, take His Son for granted. This is a great sin before God, because God gave His Son to die on the cross for the world, and it's not for us. Who are we to take the Lord Jesus Christ for granted, to ignore His warning, to ignore His warning for us to repentance? We're nobody, all right? All right? We're not worthy to untie His shoes, His sandals. We're not worthy. But by His mercy, He has mercy on us, and He saved us. So this is why we need to listen to the Lord. We're listening to the Son of God, His only begotten Son, who loves us, who prays for us as a high priest before God every single day, who is in constant prayer for us. You know, when I seen the Lord standing in front of me, all right, and when I saw His sadness in His face for His people, okay, for His people that He called, that He saved, that He gave His life, that are taking Him for granted, who are going back into the world, to doing the things of the world, it is not something easy to bear, but the Lord, mercy, He's so merciful, so merciful. But now it's in the hands of the Father. All this judgment that is coming is in God's hand. And He will bring it very soon, people. We will see this earthquake in California. And we've been told by the Lord that we will see the first tsunami. Then the Lord, this is the hope that we have. The rapture will happen soon as after the first tsunami happens. Okay? Just this morning, he showed me weeks ahead. People looking for water after this first tsunami hit. And I couldn't believe it. And I was looking at people here in Boston, Massachusetts, looking for water and going to the rivers with buckets and gallons to try to get water to drink. Just imagine how contaminated the water is. And people are going to have to go with buckets and gallons to get water. It's horrible. What's coming is so horrible. Every single water supply will be contaminated. Okay? The water will be a major thing. Brothers and sisters, if you can put away water, please listen to this advice. Put away water. The Lord, 9:9, has been showing me that water will be a great issue for His people, for the people in America. And then food will be another great issue too. It will be a great problem, because soon as after the highways and roads are broken by the earthquake in California, many other states will be harmed by it. Many highways will be out of service. The food that comes to the north will not be brought to the north anymore. The people have got to listen. Put away a lot of rice and a lot of other things that you eat with your rice and a lot of water. You are going to need it. Don't wait until it's too late. Okay? Don't wait. Please don't wait. Put it away. Right away. We're going to see something happen very soon, people. Very, very, very soon. There will be great suffering. I saw people crying like I never seen people crying for many years. The Lord showed me after the tsunami came here, and all I heard were people saying, my parents were killed because where the house of my parents was, it was washed away by the water. The tsunami killed them. Many small cities and towns will be wiped out by the tsunami, and many will die. So many, it will be too late very soon. Okay? When I seen this happening, it was early in the morning when I heard the people crying. And people came to cry on my shoulder. All right? And I was comforting people. And all I was thinking is, how many times did the Lord told me this? How many times did the Lord warn me that this will come? And when I saw the reality of this tsunami, I have tears in my eyes. But all I have is memory of the Lord telling me, my son, this will come. Tell my people to prepare. Tell my people to prepare because this will come soon. It will be too late for many. Many will lose their family. Many will lose their children. At one time, the Lord showed me, I believe this was the second tsunami, where a whole school, where like 400 kids were killed. When I seen this, I cried and cried before the Lord. It's hard to see people being killed, okay, especially innocent children. But we must listen to the Lord. We must hear his warning. What the Lord is telling us now is that the earthquake in California is coming out any day. The war in Israel will start also any day. We're trying to figure out whether this war in Israel is the Psalm 83 or the Ezekiel war that is coming. Many have said that this is the Psalm 83. The only thing I can tell you about it is that the Lord Jesus Christ himself showed me that he is going to protect the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, he's going to make sure that all these Arab countries, Iran and all these neighbors that are coming against Israel, that the Jewish people will defeat them. The Lord himself, will make sure that this happens. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And also the Lord has told us today to pray for the people that are going to die through this first earthquake. And pray for the people that are going to die through the tsunami. It will happen because the Father will make sure that this earthquake and tsunami happens according to what he has said through us. It's very soon, within days, many will die. Pray for them and their family. Please pray for them. Brothers and sisters from other countries, please be in prayer for the people that are going to die in this earthquake in California and many other countries, because other countries will be affected and many other people will die. Pray for them that the Lord will have mercy and say, I feel them. Because many of them, the majority of them are not prepared to die. They are not ready to die. And the Lord has said today, pray for them. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But be in your first prayer. Please, in your first prayer, pray for the soul of the people that are going to die soon. Please do it. This has come from the Lord. This is very important that we pray for these people that are going to die soon because they are not prepared to meet their Creator. They are not prepared to meet God. All right? And this is very serious. This will happen very soon. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon as this earthquake in California happens, I will not join any denomination. All right, for the preaching of the thousands of people that are going to come, that the Lord has shown to me. I will not do that. I will not join any church to get to share the word of the Lord with them. I will share with people what the Lord himself tells me. I'm sorry if you think I'm being prideful about this. I am not being prideful about this. I got order from the Lord himself for me not to do this. He wants me to stay separated to teach his holy people, his people that want to hear a word from him, that want to hear from the Lord. I will share from the Lord what else the Lord has told me to share with them. Okay? It's very important. Okay? Because I will be approached by many pastors and ministers so I can join them to minister to these people, because there will be thousands of people coming to be ministered. Please do not ask me to do this, because I will not do this. The Lord has told me very clear this week, my son, I don't want you to join with these other people. I want you to tell the people what I tell you. You're going to hear from me, and from me, you're going to give them a word. Okay? I know many have find it very hard to believe the messages of many have find it hard to believe the messages that the Lord has been giving me. Not everybody, please, now don't misunderstand me, but many have been finding it very hard. Okay? But the Lord told me very clear, as soon as this earthquake in California happens very soon, people will come to you. Okay? I will give them a word from the Lord. Then they will prepare for the tsunami, which is very close right after that. Okay? Then there's other things that I need to tell them from the Lord. Okay? But first is the earthquake in California, people. It will be horrible. Many will lose their lives. Okay? Many will lose their lives in New York and New Jersey. It's like a Sodom and Gomorrah right now before the Lord. The Father has taken over, and he will make it happen. Soon as after this second, after this first tsunami happens, the Lord will take his people out of here. The Lord showed me the rapture again. And when he showed me the rapture and showed me how soon after the tsunami comes, we're out of here. We're not going through the most suffering after that. We will see these three signs, I'm sorry. The earthquake in California, the war in Israel, and the tsunami. Three things is what the Lord has been pointing out to me. My son, wait for these three things. Soon as you see the earthquake in California, okay, and the war in Israel, I'm trying to see which one is first. Because I believe when the Lord showed me the earthquake in California, then the war in Israel happens. Okay? But the war in Israel is about to happen. And the earthquake has not happened yet. But the Lord told me it's very close, the earthquake in California. And it's very close, the war in Israel. The Lord told me, look for this sign, my son. Look for this two signs specific. Or three signs for the tsunami. Three signs, my son. Look for these three signs. This is the thing that I want my people to be waiting for. Because they're going to see it very soon. The Father will make it happen. He will make these things happen. And then he wants his people out of here. Let me tell you something. Soon as the rapture happens for us that are going home with the Lord, our whole life is going to be changed. The Lord showed me how my life is going to change. No more suffering for us. Okay? We're going to heaven for 7 years. In those 7 years, they're going to train us. The people that were going down to the millennium, for the millennium kingdom, after the 7 year. Why are we going to be 7 years in heaven? Because it will be right after the rapture. They will start a 7 year tribulation. Okay? Right from the beginning of the first day of the tribulation, okay, people will be able to see the demons for whom they are.